Good morning. This is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along. And in the studio with me is Cincinnati novelist Leah Stewart. Leah has had great success with her book, The History of Us, and is receiving the 2014 Rosa F. and Samuel B. Sachs Fund Prize from ArtsWave in a ceremony later this week. Leah Stewart, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you for having me.
I want to talk about The History of Us because, I've talked to you about it before, but it seemed to be catching on more and more. I keep running into people who are loving the book, but I wanted to talk about this Sachs Fund Prize and what it's like as a writer to get an honor like this, because this was not expected, right?
No, I had no idea that it was even a possibility, and I got a call from Albert Pyle at the Mercantile telling me that I had won. Not only was I up for this prize, but I had already won it. So it was enormously exciting. I think I've been saying it was my Oprah. It was like an Oprah moment, you know, just this out-of-the-blue call telling you about this wonderful, very affirming thing.
The Sachs Fund Prize honors outstanding contributions to the cultural life of Cincinnati. And previously, if you go through the list of winners, it's mostly performing arts. And it's been a while since this literary award came along.
I think 1960s was the last time it was a writer.
How does that feel as an artist, as a writer, to receive an honor like this unexpectedly?
Well, I said affirming, and I think that's the word I keep coming back to. You know, you're often writing in what can feel like a vacuum. You don't know if people are reading you, and you don't really want to go on the internet to find out, because then you encounter the people who are reading you but hate you. So to know that your work is being noticed in that way it's phenomenal. It's great.
Before we get too far into it, I'd like to talk about The History of Us. It is set here in Cincinnati, about a family with some interesting connections, and the wheel of life keeps on turning. But in this couple of years since the book has been out, how do you describe it to people when people ask you about The History of Us?
Well, if I'm talking to someone here in Cincinnati, I immediately say, well, it's set here, because that was very important to me in the writing of the book, that it be very much about the city. And while I gave my characters mixed feelings about the city, some love it, some hate it, some are in between. I myself love it, so I think of it as a love letter to the city. And I really tried my best to get an accurate sense of what it's like to live here, of things about the history, the architecture, the landscape. And so I think it's a pleasure for people who know the city to see it reflected in the book. It's always so much fun to encounter a work of art that shows you a version of places that you know, and you can compare your own experience to the artist's experience. So I always emphasize that. And then I say it's about a family of grown siblings trying to come to terms with the difference between what they expected and how things are actually turning out.
It's a fun romp. Fun to see the Cincinnati references in it as well. And I was talking to a reader at Books by the Banks who mentioned that she went into the book and looked at all the clues and decided she had found that house that you mention and you talk about that's the focus in The History of Us.
It's a real house.
Yes,
yeah.
She found it and went and took pictures. Have you had a lot of that
really?
Reaction?
I get asked a lot where the house is, and this is, I don't know why. I don't know if I have a mental block, but I repeatedly forget the actual address of the house. It belongs to friends of friends. It actually belongs to someone I just saw the other night, and they know their house is in the book and feel perfectly fine about that. But I've only been in the house a couple of times, but it's an amazing house. It made an impression on me. And so when I knew that a house in Clifton would be central to the novel, that was the one that immediately came to mind.
I'll give a general hint. Folks will have to go out and get the book and find more specific hints. But it's up in the Gaslight area.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Let's put it there. Well, did you decide to write about your recent transplant? Did you decide to write about Cincinnati for The History of Us, or did Cincinnati come later in the story? Did you decide?
No, they were inextricable. The book was really motivated by an interest in writing about the city and about the different relationships that the people I was encountering had to the city. You know, the people who grew up here and either love or hate it, and the people who came from elsewhere and either embrace it or spend their whole time here trying to figure out how they can move away. And I've met people all over the spectrum, and that was part of what was really interesting to me. Because I think that people's sense of who they are gets caught up with where they live. And so that was a lot of what I was interested in writing the book.
I'm speaking with Leah Stewart, the author of The History of Us, as well as other novels. She is the recipient of the 2014 Rosa F. and Samuel B. Sachs Fund Prize from Arts Wave. She'll be receiving that later this week and is here to talk about being a writer and a recognized writer and about the success of The History of Us, which is set here in Cincinnati, as she likes to point out. back to The History of Us, I wanted to ask what the reaction has been, because you talk about the people who live here, and I just recently interviewed Brock Clark, whose new novel is The Happiest People on Earth, and he was talking about moving from Cincinnati to Maine and how someone in Maine went, "Oh, Cincinnati," and he went, got a little defensive about it,
right.
You know. Have you found that when you're meeting readers of The History of Us?
Well, when I'm talking to people here, they're excited that it's here. And when I talk to people elsewhere, I do find myself being a bit of a proselytizer for the city, because I do think there's, in general, a tendency to dismiss the Midwest, especially when you're on the coast. And so I definitely have a whole speech, kind of marketing speech, that I go into about Cincinnati's good qualities.
but you had to come around. I read somewhere that right after you moved here, you were like, how could we have moved the family to this loud and dirty city?
Well, we'd been living in the country, and then we had spent a year in small town Kentucky where I was a visiting writer. And so it was just, I think it was not the city as much as it was the shock of returning to an urban environment. You know, the sirens going down your street, the house across the street that has five dogs that bark at all hours, that kind of thing. We had been living in relative isolation for a while in North Carolina. And so it was a shock to the system.
Yeah, lots of noise.
Lots of noise. Yeah.
What is your writing style like? This is National Novel Writing Month, where there's a bunch of what many writers would consider crazy people out there trying to write 50,000 words in just 30 days. What is your writing work ethic, I guess you could call it?
I'm somebody who likes to work every day, but for a shorter, more concentrated period every day. So if I can just sit down for 2 or 3 hours and be in a place where I'm really involved in what I'm doing, which is not always easy to achieve. Sometimes you sit there and the book seems very remote and you can't find the characters and you get increasingly frustrated. And then your children make comments about how frustrated you are when your writing doesn't go well. But if I can kind of get in the zone, then 2 or 3 hours is really what I look for. That's in my normal life when I'm teaching and I'm doing the laundry and the kids are around. I went for the first time this year to a writer's colony in Suwanee, Tennessee, and had 2 weeks of just writing all day, every day. And I did find that I could work all day, every day until I was exhausted. But I think I need everything else in my life to not be around in order to achieve that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, with all those distractions, it seems like it'd be a chore for you, but you keep on churning out this great work.
No, I'd say it's a joy because my uncle once told me he'd read an article that people were happiest when they were by themselves doing something that they're good at. And I thought, well, that makes sense to me, because that joy of that intense kind of concentration, the satisfaction of that is enormous for me. So I find writing a challenge in that I sometimes resist doing it and I sometimes find it frustrating. But if I can get into that place where it's going well and I'm inhabiting the scene that I'm writing, it's an enormous pleasure. So in some ways it's, what do I want to say? In some ways it's a vacation from the demands of the rest of my life. Yeah.
I can see that. Well, is your role as a writer in sharing the story, or sharing a story with folks, what is your internal mission? I mean, what this creativity that you have, Leah, that you churn out these great stories, where did that come from?
That is a good question. I don't know. I used to go around telling people that I didn't really want to be a writer until I got to college. And then I found my college application essay, which I wrote when I was 16, which was entirely about how it was my goal in life to be a writer. So I clearly made that part up about finding that ambition in college. I think I just didn't know what changed in college was that I had no idea how you approached making a life as a writer. So I thought for a while I would be a journalist. And that was my intention because that made sense. I knew what you did to mm-hmm. become a journalist. I didn't know what you did to become a writer. Most of the writers I was reading in high school were either writing fantasy series or they were writing or they were long dead. They were Dickens and Emily Bronte. Oh, yes. And I didn't know how you became Dickens, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I think I always wanted to do it. And why I don't know. I mean, I have little bound books of poems I was writing when I was six. They're not very good, but still, that's clearly what I wanted to be doing even back then.
Wow. I was kind of the same way with radio. But I'm not going to detail about that. But I wanted to ask, I've been learning and talking to writers and authors about the creative process. There are people like science fiction writer John Scalzi, who pretty much writes a mean streak. You know, he begins writing and the plot and the characters all begin to come together and blossom and go. There are others that I know who plot a map very carefully of where they want their writing in the book to go. Where do you fall in that spectrum between, you know, freewheeling and highly regulated?
I'm probably in the middle at this point. When I first started writing, I just would start and see what happened. And sometimes that would really run aground and I would have no idea what to do next. And so I've developed a process now where I have a pretty good sense of where the story is heading in an overall sense, but I don't necessarily know how I'll get from A to B to C to D. And I start writing, I have a sense of what will basically happen over the first 100 pages or so. And then usually I have to stop and think about what's the next thing I'm aiming for. What's the next plot point, you could say, I'm aiming for. But a lot of it is, it's a combination of planning and discovery. For me, when I've tried to plan it out too carefully, then I've found I lose interest in the actual writing process.
Does it pick up? I mentioned John Scalzi. He talks about how he loves the beginning of the writing process where he's discovering
yes.
the story and going through it. But then when he knows where it's going, it's like, okay, I'm so done with this. I just want to finish it right now. Are you the same way when you know that final plot point where you're heading? Do you get a little anxious to get there?
I do get anxious. I get anxious as I approach the end. I find it very difficult not to rush the ending. And if you'll notice, this is true in any of my books and probably other people's books, too. I don't know. But the chapters get increasingly short as it gets toward the end because I can see it. And, you know, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But what I find the most frustrating is probably the middle because I usually have a sense of where the entire book is going to end. And I know what I have in mind when I begin it. But it's working out the details of the middle that I find the most challenging. That's where I get most frustrated. When I don't know what's going to happen next is when I get, when I don't have any idea what will happen next is when I get most frustrated.
Well, I loved your books, The Myth of You and Me and Husband and Wife and History of Us. I haven't tried Body of a Girl yet, but I'm getting back there. But History of Us came out a couple of years ago, and I mm-hmm. understand you've been working or finished one novel, have one coming out again.
Yeah.
And working on another. Any you care to share about these new endeavors?
Sure. I have one coming out in July, and it's called The New Neighbor. And it's about a 90-year-old woman living in isolation on a mountain who becomes fixated on her new neighbor and believes that this woman has some sort of interesting secrets, which of course she does. And it's about the relationship between the two of them. And then the one I'm working on is about TV actors. So that's been interesting because I've had to do all kinds of research, knowing very little about what it is to be a TV actor. Now I know quite a bit more because I've been doing some research. But I was interested in what it's like to be not Brad Pitt, but the guy who has worked steadily on TV shows for 20 years, who people see on the street and say, "Where do I know you from?" I was mm-hmm. interested in what it's like to be in that kind of middle ground of celebrity. And I'm also just interested in the creative process for actors generally, because it is and isn't like what a writer does.
I know a lot of novelists aspire to have their books on the silver screen. Are you one that looks for those movie rights, or because I know it can be a two-way street. Sometimes it's kind of neat to have your story come to life on the big screen, and sometimes it's, I've heard, not so nice seeing it all butchered on the silver screen.
Yeah, I really don't know. I've sold movie rights, and I even for my first book tried to write a script. Somebody wanted me to write a script, and it was an interesting exercise, but I think one thing I learned is that I won't ever do that again.
Okay.
Should it come up, but I think it would be I really don't know, because I haven't had that happen. I would love to see it happen, but I think what people tell me, and from the little bit of experience that I've had, the more detached you can feel from that, probably the better, because in the end it's really not yours anymore. And one of the, being on TV sets and talking to people who work in that world, one of the huge differences is that when you're writing, it's just you and the work. When you're making a TV show or a film, it's hundreds of people. It's a very collaborative process, which I think for a writer, I mean, writers are probably by nature little bit of control freaks, so I think that's probably part of the difficulty.
With the National Novel Writing Month in full swing here, and a lot of folks with stories to share, whether they're in NaNoWriMo or not, the young students you teach up at the University of Cincinnati teaching creative writing and the like, what is that one piece of advice you most often hand out to writers and aspiring writers?
The thing I say about actually getting the writing done is you have to make time for it in your day and insist on that time, because nobody around you cares whether you get your writing done or not, and the world is not beating down your door asking for that work. So if you don't prioritize it, the rest of your life will take over. So that's what I say about getting the writing done. What I say about the career is that you have to be tough.
Yes, you do. So, Leah Stewart, the author of The History of Us. She has a new novel coming out in 2015 in July. And she just recently received the 2014 Rosa F. and Samuel B. Sachs Fund Prize from ArtsWave here in Cincinnati. You can learn more about Leah and her work at our website, wvxu.org. Congratulations again, Leah. And if you don't mind my asking, what are you reading right now?
Well, I'm reading several things at once. I've been trying to fill in a gap in my education, which is the 18th century novel.
Ooh.
So I'm reading Tristram Shandy by Lawrence Stern, famous 18th century novel. And I'm reading a novel by an early woman writer named Elizabeth Inchbald called A Simple Story, about a young woman who falls in love with a priest. And then at the same time, I'm about to start Brock Clark's new book, Happiest People in the World. And I'm reading a book called This One Is Mine by Maria Simple, who's the author of Where'd You Go, Bernadette. And I'm getting ready to start also The Paying Guest by Sarah Waters. I've gotten to a point where I have multiple books going at once.
Well, how do you decide to drop between them, if you don't mind my asking? I mean,
I have a multi-story house. And sometimes I'm lazy. Yeah, so I think it might just be whichever one is in the room with me.
Well, Leah, thank you very much for your time, and congratulations again.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Book Club at 91.7. Technical director is Bruce Ellis. Rick Andres is music director and segment engineer. Jim Nolan is web guru. Robin Carey Allgaier is the announcer. And producer is Kevin Reynolds. Kevin, what are you reading?
Mark, right now for the holiday season, with all the stress, I'm reading a book by a Vietnamese monk named Thich Nhat Hanh, and it's called You Are Here. Discover the magic of the present moment.
Thanks, Kevin. And I'm Mark Purzell. Children book author and illustrator Will Hillenbrand will be here next time, the Book Club at 91.7, to talk about his latest book, The Snowman Story. So I hope you'll be here again next Saturday morning. Weekend edition coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.